And just a couple different thoughts from it. I do not believe that the message is going to be super long this evening. I always say that, and then it ends up being super long anyway, but that's okay. But Mark chapter 14, we got some different thoughts tonight. We're going to, once again, obviously be observing the Lord's Supper this evening too. And there's some things that are, when the Lord's instituting this, this is a just a wonderful passage of Scripture. Just going to kind of walk through the passages of Scripture tonight as we look at this story. The title of tonight's message is It I? Is It I? Here the Lord reveals unto them that one of them is going to betray him. And instead of pointing fingers at one another and saying, hey, I bet you it's that person, I bet you it's that person, they're sorrowful. They're saddened by what's going on. And as he's talking, he's turning around and saying, they look at each other, and instead they look at the Lord and say, is it I? Another said, is it I? They became saddened because of the state of what was going on. And I think it's important that we look at this and we consider, especially when we talk about communion or Lord's Supper, it's a time of examination. And it's not something that we sit there and point around at each other and say, hey, it's this person's fault, it's this person's fault. Instead, taking a deep look inside and asking this question, is it I? Let's pick here in Mark chapter 14, pick up Mark 14, look at verse 16. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So we see in the passages of Scripture that they followed the instructions. They asked Jesus earlier. We looked at this passage just last week, and he talked about, hey, where we're going to eat the Passover. He gave some specific instructions. And as the story goes along, Jesus tells them specifically in verse number 13, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him. And wherever he shall go in, excuse me, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there, make ready for us. So they have to listen to Jesus. And I know that was part of the message last week. It's still the same message. God's got a plan for us. God's got a will for us. But we have to be willing to listen. And specifically, he gives instructions. It's amazing how God knows exactly this guy carrying the pitcher is going to be going to this house. It's already all worked out. And that's God. That's exactly who God is. He's got it planned and worked out for you. You don't have to invent it. You don't have to change it. You don't have to work. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to follow and be obedient. So in verse 16, the disciples do that. They find it. They make ready the Passover. Verse 17, and in the evening, he cometh with the 12. So the 12 are there with him. And as he sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. So he looks at him, and this is a surprise to them. They take it by, they don't know what's happening. The events are getting ready to unfold. He's getting ready to die for the sins of mankind. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again. We read it all, but can you imagine sitting there that night? They're partaking of the Passover, at least planning for the Passover, and they're there, and they're part of this, and they're having this meal together, and they're talking, and Jesus just stops and kind of drops a bomb on them. And he says, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And now, how do we take bad news sometimes? How do we react? It's amazing that somehow we react to certain times in certain ways in certain places. And sometimes when people hear bad news, they're like, well, it's got to be somebody else's fault. Or they laugh at it. Or they just say, oh, that's just the way the world is. But they're sorrowful. And they realize that one of them is going to betray the precious Messiah. And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him, one by one, is it I? Another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. And the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. We're going to look at that passage of Scripture in a little while. It's a very powerful and an interesting verse. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake, and he gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he begins to describe what the body and the blood represents. And it says in verse 24, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you. We're very needy people. God, the reality is our church has great needs. Lord, as we heard some of the songs being sung, we heard Brother Jim's song about reaching the world. It's one by one. You bring them into the church, Lord, that they would be saved. And Lord, we heard Miss Maxie's song about just seeing Jesus and the excitement that would have been with that day. And Lord, the excitement that God has in our hearts and lives as we meet with him day by day, moment by moment. We've lost that. Lord, would you revive our hearts? Would you revive our spirits tonight? And instead of looking around and blaming others for the things that maybe we fail in, that we would ask this question in sincerity. Is it I? Lord, we think about the praise song that the choir sang as we look forward to the program next week. Lord, would you burn in our hearts the desire to want to remember this. And as we consider what the Lord's Supper represents and the future that we have, that we would be thankful, we would be grateful. It would stir our hearts to want to live for you. True, it's easy for us to talk as Peter did this morning. I'll die with you. I'm never going to be offended of you. I'll go to jail for you. But then it comes to this time of taking time to praise, taking time to pray, taking time to be faithful, we fall asleep. Or tonight, would you give us help, encourage our hearts, motivate us, convict us where we need to be convicted, rebuke us where we need to be rebuked, encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And Lord, that we walk out of this place being thankful, remembering what you did for us, realizing the price that was paid, the actual blood that was shed, the body that was broken. Lord, help us tonight. Answer this question in our hearts with your direction. Is it I? We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I come to this passage of scripture, and there's three simple thoughts tonight, and we're going to finish up with that conclusion of what Jesus said to Judas. The first thing I want you to think about, take a look within. Take a look within. We always go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 during time of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to refer back to that three different times tonight. So if you want to find your spot there and hold your spot here, you can, or you can just listen. But one of the things about the Lord's Supper is we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to do it at a time and a remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for us, the blood that was shed, the body that was broken. And remember why he did that. It's because of our sin. We're sinners. We were lost. He died for us. And we take our sin so much for granted. We play around with it. We don't even let, and that's why he says at the beginning, and he encourages him in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And here's the thought is, you know, you're supposed to examine yourself. We're supposed to examine ourselves daily. We want to stay right with him. We don't want to sit there and play games. We don't want to say, hey, this is the reason why I do what I do, and it's this person's fault or it's this person's fault. We come up with a bunch of excuses, but we don't really come up with those. You know who comes up with those? The devil whispers them to us. He's been doing it for many years. He's been trying to get us to question God. He's been trying to get us to point the finger. I mean, the first sin, what was it about? It was the blame game, wasn't it? I mean, Adam, what are you doing? It's this woman you gave me. And you know what? And been saying that for years. It's the woman's fault. And then we got the woman that says it's the snake's fault. I know the women haven't been saying that, but it's the same thing. It's blaming around. We come, there's all types of excuses. And the disciples here, and this to me, this is something that's powerful in the thought that they walked with them. They were surprised by it. They didn't recognize it was Judas. They didn't know it was Judas. Instead, they took a deep look inside and said, is it I? And you turn around and you think about it, you know, is there problems in my home? Is it I? Is it really somebody else's fault, or is it my fault? If there's problems inside our church, is it I? If there's problems inside of our nation, is it I? I mean, we're never going to truly know until we're willing to look deep inside our own hearts and just lay open in front of the Lord. He already knows. We're open, naked in front of him. He knows. He sees it all. He already knows everything. It's just whether or not we're willing to take the time. And that's when it says in Psalms 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." He says, look, I want you to know me. I want you to search my heart. God already knows us. He doesn't have to search our hearts. What the psalmist is saying there is, God, reveal it unto me, because I can't see it. I think I'm fine. I think I'm good. But the disciples would become sorrowful over this. They don't sit there and start saying, I bet you it's Peter. He's a big mouth. I bet you it's John. You know, he's so passionate. And James, son of thunder. I bet you it's one of those guys. And it's there. And it's, hey, is it I? So when we look at things, it's easy to cast blame. And yes, sin is sin, and we need to deal with sin, and we can't put up with sin. At the same time, the Bible talks about when we need to make sure we're right before we go to try to help a brother or sister out. So Galatians chapter 6 puts it this way. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Psalms 119, verse 59 puts it this way. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Is it I? It's the thought here. It's, once again, you may not be the problem. But we should at least take that deep look and say, hey, there's something I can work on. Is there something that I need to change? And this is a perfect night. And I they put this there, they begin to ask this question, and I can imagine they go to the room, is it I? And then Jesus responds and kind of gives them a little bit of a picture of who it's going to be, and then gives a warning in verse number 21. The next thing I want you to think about is not taking just a look within, remember in the spirit of gratitude. Tonight when we think about this, remember in the spirit of gratitude. What does that really look like? It says here, if you look here, what it says in verse 23, and he said unto them, he took the cup, and when he had given, what's the next word? Anybody know? Thanks. He gave thanks. So what does gratefulness really look like? What does the gratitude look like? So if he died for our sins, and we're thankful for the forgiveness of sins, and we're thankful for what he did, would we want to continue on living in that sin? Is that really being grateful? Is that really being thankful? I mean, he faced something that no person's ever faced. He went through becoming sin. He went through the turning of the Father. He went through, I mean, we talked a little bit about this morning. If you're reading through this passage of scriptures this week, keep your eyes on Jesus. But as you keep your eyes on Jesus, see everything he went through. He experienced all those things. I'm thankful for this. And then you turn around and you still live in it. Is that really a grateful heart? When the communion table or the Lord's Supper is there and we consider all these things and we have things that are wrong in the heart, the Bible tells you, hey, examine yourself. The Bible even says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, it was something that even though he knew everything was going to happen, he break it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He's there. He's being thankful for it, but sometimes people say that they're thankful. Sometimes people say that they're grateful. But in all reality, do we really show that in the way that we live? Oh, I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross. But the sins that we did that put him there, we still relish them. To me, that's not really being thankful or grateful. And as I mentioned this morning, yes, you know, we're boastful. I would die for him. And I would like to say, I would like to think in my own heart, in my own mind, yes, if it came across, somebody pointed a gun in my head and said, hey, deny Christ or die. I'd like to think I'd die. I say, okay, I'm not going to deny Christ. Do what you got to do. And I like to say I'm never going to be offended. I like to say I'm never, ever going to sin ever again. But the reality is it's going to happen because I have a flesh. And how we got watch and pray. Pay attention. Be alert. Spiritually, do not let things and do not let people enter into your heart and life that's going to cause and attract your flesh to make your flesh greater and make your flesh stronger. There's that battle between one another. And if we're really, truly going to be grateful and we're really, truly going to be thankful, it is a remembrance in the spirit of gratitude. He says he's thankful and he's facing all those trials. As we mentioned this morning in Sunday school, the things that we can learn, the things that we, as we watch Jesus, that we learn as he's going through this most difficult thing that anyone's ever gone through, we learn what? We learn about his attitude. He was thankful. He was joyful. He sang songs. He had a song in his heart. We also learned how he treated people. He learned how to forgive. He learned how to not let other people who did things that were wrong slow him down. He learned that he took the time to teach. He learned that people were watching him and he took the time to care about them when he was going through such a horrible trial. And we saw he was willing to still reach out and still win someone to Christ or bring someone to God while sitting on the cross, while dying on the cross next to the thief. He wasn't worried about himself and all this. What was he doing? He was caring for others. We learned so much from him. And we're truly going to be thankful and grateful. We're going to change our ways. Out of a heart of thankfulness. God, you've done this for me. I'm so thankful you're patient for me. I'm so thankful you're kind. I'm so thankful you've died for me. It helps me. I'm now going to respond by acting a certain way. It's this time. It's time of remembrance. It's a time of thought. And if we're truly going to remember, the only choice we really have to say is just thank you, Lord, for what you did. Talk is cheap. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. That's one thing the Lord convicted my heart about years ago and say, hey, I'm going to be praying for you. But I've heard people say, I'm praying for you. But deep down inside, have they? One of the greatest lies told amongst Christians. It's sad because we all want to say, because we care. We wish that we had prayed. And so let's not say, oh, I'm thankful, and then just turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to still act like this. And that's why he tells them, examine. Make sure you're right. Make sure your heart's right. If you're not right, don't partake of it. The third thing I want you to think about is having a great hope for the future. Having a great hope for the future. Look what it says in verse 25. He begins talking about the future. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. He's speaking of something that's going to happen in the future. And even in 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. You know, this, because of what's happening in remembrance, we're showing forth his death till he comes. We know he's coming back. John chapter 14, he talked about him dying. He talked about Peter in 13. He talked about Peter denying him. In 13, he talked about somebody betraying him. The disciples are overwhelmed. And what does he say? Let not thy heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he continues on. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He begins talking about this marvelous future. This is what you have, and this is what the time of remembrance helps us do. Take a look within. Truly be thankful for what he's done this upcoming week. It's not about living for ourselves. Let's live for him because of everything he's done, everything he's been through, everything he did for us. We should want to say, yes, I'm willing to die for you. Yes, I'm willing to go to the jail for you. Yes, I'll never be offended to you. But what he's asking us to do is watch, be spiritually alert, know your weaknesses, know what you struggle with. Stay away from people that are causing you to be more fleshly. Don't be around them. Things that harm you, things that hurt you, keep away from them. Be alert and pray. Watch and pray. So this week, feed the spiritual side. Be strong. That's what he's desiring. He was getting ready to die. He was sitting in the garden and he told him, he says, I'm exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he says, could you not watch with me? And for 1 hour, they missed it. And I'm telling you, yes, emotionally, they should have done it. But he was teaching them a powerful lesson. Learn to watch and pray, or you're never going to do those things that your spirit wants you to do. Your flesh is weak. And he's telling them, your flesh is weak. Deal with that. Understand that. Examine yourself. It's not because you're horrible. It's not because of the fact that you're some heinous person that we think that you're wicked. It's your flesh. It's weak. It must be dealt with. And that's why he says, examine yourself. Make sure that you're truly thankful. Make sure you're truly acting like you're thankful. Make sure you're truly acting like you're grateful. Make sure it's something that you're actually showing. And how many times have we given something to someone and they say, oh, thank you. And then they go throw it somewhere. And you're thinking, they didn't really appreciate that. They weren't really truly grateful. And it speaks our heart about, how many times we come before him and we sing his praises and then we just throw him to the side and just say, no, have a heart of gratitude when we think about this tonight. And imagine what the future is going to be like. The future is amazing. The future is great for all those who believe. But there's a verse in here that is not included for everyone. It's available to all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that whosoever gospel, whoever calls upon him. But there is someone in this chapter that's going to miss out. Look what it says here in verse 21. And I think he's giving Judas another chance. He's trying to get Judas to repent. Judas, take a look inside. Take a look deep inside. When Judas said, "Is it I?" Jesus responded to him, as if you look at the other gospels, still all the other disciples missed it. But look what it says in verse 21. "The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it was written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." And I tell you, the first time I read that years ago, before I ever became even in the ministry, and God just kind of spoke to my heart, it's just like, what that's saying, it would have been better for Judas to never exist than to betray Christ and go to hell. And I can only imagine, once again, it's my sanctified imagination, spending all eternity in a horrible place called hell, it would be better for them if they have never even existed. Think about it. Would you want to spend eternity in a horrible place where you're suffering every single moment of every single day? It would have been better if they had never, ever even existed. And that's what Jesus is saying here. What a powerful thought. It shows you how bad and how horrible hell must be. And don't get me wrong, I think there's different degrees of punishment. I think Judas, because of all the opportunities he had and all the privileges he had of being close to Jesus and walking with Jesus and being the one to betray Jesus, I think he is in torments and one of the greatest degrees of torment. I understand all that, but it would have been better for them. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that we should not play around with people. Well, it's better for that person to never even have existed than ever truly to be lost without him. It's horrible to consider living at without God, but dying without God, he said it'd be better if you never existed. Now, we sit there and we think about that, and it says it better for that man. I think the reason why he says for that man is because of the fact that Judas did some good works. If you go back and you read, Jesus commissioned the disciples. The disciples came back saying that he had power over demons. As far as we see, Judas did some type of miracles too, because he was that great betrayer. I mean, imitating, being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus Christ. Amazing to think about that. He would look at somebody and he said, "Look, the person is going to betray me. It'd be better if that person was never, ever born." And I tell you, that just spoke to my heart. Are you here tonight and don't know Christ? According to what my thinking is, I know you might call it Brian P's theology, but reasoning it out, whether you betrayed him or not, dying without Christ is, you can't even comprehend what hell's going to be like. To die without Jesus means an eternal loss of the soul in the fires of hell forever. It's a tragedy. Hell is a place of punishment. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of thirst. Hell is a place of remembrance. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of wrath. Hell is a place of frustration, anger. Hell is eternal separation from God. And all that is good for all eternity is not a place where you want to go. He said, what does this have to do with remembering? He puts it here on this night. He's reaching out and saying, this is what I'm trying to keep you from. This is the whole purpose why I came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Are we truly willing to examine ourselves? Make sure we are of the faith. Make sure that there was a moment in time in our life where we said, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand, and God convicted me of my sin, and I know that I need to be saved. And we call out to the Lord. We turn to him. We put our faith and trust in him, and we believe on him. Have you ever done that? If not, according to what this verse is saying, it'd be better if you'd ever, ever existed. But Pastor, I raised some children. Pastor, I did all these good things. Pastor, you know, and Judas did all those good things. We don't know if Judas was married or not, obviously, but you know what I'm saying, that Judas did a lot of good things for 3 years. They didn't say, Well, I know who's going to betray him. It's that Judas. He's been stealing from the bag, and he did this, he did that. No, they were all surprised. They were all willing to look inside, and they were all willing to say, is it I? Why is that? Because they understood that they were weak. They had learned, and they were getting ready to learn this lesson. Your flesh is weak. You need to work on it. You need to make sure you die daily. You need to crucify yourself. You need to jump in the grave. That's what we need. Our flesh is weak. Our spirit says, yes, I will do whatever you call me to do. But our flesh, it fails. It causes it to fail. So it is not tonight. I want you to think about that verse. I want you to consider that verse. It'd be better if it were the Son of Man is betrayed. Were good, good were it for that man if he had never been born. Never, ever been born. But what about this? And what about for that person, for that individual, yes, they might have helped somebody else, but for that person's life, to lose their soul, to turn away from what the offering of salvation, there's no hope for them. It's sombering. It's convicting. Because how often do we truly examine ourselves? Take that deep look on, is it I? And maybe if you're right with the Lord, you're not going to have a problem looking in and saying, is it I? It's us that struggle with certain things that we don't want to deal with, those hidden compartments that are in our heart that we don't want to lay open and free and say, God, here it is. Have whatever you want. God, if you want me to stop doing this, okay, it might hurt, but God, you can have it. God, if you want me to start doing this, okay. It's the act of submission. It's opening up our heart and saying, God, will you look in my heart and see if there's something that needs to change? And if you reveal it unto me, God, I'm willing to do it. See, some of those disciples, they were very sorrowful. They wanted to make sure they weren't the one. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And when we consider all the challenges of the day and times that we live in, the issues and the problems that we have, whether family, work, church, you know, our country, ask that question, is it I? Make sure our hearts are right. And then truly, it's a time of remembrance, but it's a remembrance with the spirit of gratitude. When we think about that blood and that body, what he went through for us, he died for our sins. And for us to continue to relish and love our sins and want not even feel conviction over them, that's not truly being grateful. But imagine the future. It's an amazing future. Yes. I consider what heaven's going to be like. Yes. It's amazing. And once again, we have the opportunity to have rewards in heaven. We have the opportunity to gain, you know, what we can do here or reflect what we're going to do in heaven. Or reflect our rewards in heaven, and it's worth living for. Peter said it was worth dying for, but Peter couldn't even stay awake for an hour. So you're picking on Peter. No, I'm teaching you that principle. You got to stay alert with your flesh. Sometimes people hear this and hear this. I've heard it and I've heard it, and then I still go indulge in something. And once again, I'm not talking about some wicked thing, but sometimes it's just a sin that so easily besets me. Sometimes it's just a weight, something that says, hey, this is not that sinful. This is not that wrong. And I guess indulge myself, but I'm not staying alert. I'm not saying that's keeping me away from the Lord, or that's causing me not to love the Lord as much as I should, or that relationship is causing me to stumble. It's causing me to slumber, causing me not to be awake. We need to stay alert. We need to be awake. Why is that? Because we don't want to fall asleep. We don't want to fail him. We want to live for him. I love Peter's tenacity. I love Peter's boldness. I love the fact that Peter was one of the pillars of the first century church, but he had to learn this important lesson that we need to learn. Our flesh is weak. So tonight when we're examining, when we talk about examining, Christ brings it up in this. Examine yourself, examine yourself. Why does he do that? Because our flesh is weak. And he realizes our flesh is weak, and we need to make sure we're right with God. And we truly need to have a grateful heart, of remembering a spirit of gratitude, and have a great hope for the future. That's for us that believe. There's not a hope for the future for those that don't believe. So what does that have to do with me? Everything. He's told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's told us to reach out. He's told us to give. He's told us to do everything we can to try to tell people about Jesus Christ. For the sake of the gospel, for the furtherance of the gospel. What did we do last week to further the gospel? It was important enough to him to die for. And then he tells us, I want you to remember it. The reason why he has us do remembrance is because we forget. We stop being thankful. We stop being grateful because our flesh is weak. We fight the flesh and we call upon him. Lord, out of a grateful heart, I want to examine myself to make sure I'm right. And praise the fact that you're coming back. And Lord, help me to reach those whose future is nothing like mine. A future that would have been better if they never existed versus living and dying without Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the message tonight hit home in many different levels, in many different ways in people's lives. Lord, your word is not something just to come and check off that you've heard, that we would listen on purpose and that we would listen with the intention of growing and intention of learning and understanding. And Lord, ask that question, is it I? Is there something in my life that I need to change? Lord, I pray that tonight as we consider the Lord's table, we consider the communion, the truth of the matter is, it's the time when we ask, is it I? Is there something in my life that needs to change? Lord, help us take a sincere, honest look. Lord, also help us to have a heart of gratitude. I think it makes some of us very upset when we're not grateful for the things that people do for us. And Lord, sometimes I think that can be fleshly. But Lord, when we consider how we treat you after everything you've done for us, Lord, help us to inspire to have a heart of gratitude and be thankful, not just with words, but with actions. Help us to die to our flesh daily. And lastly, Lord, as we consider this great future, we do this in remembrance of me until you return. You're coming back. Lord, help us not forget what was on your heart, what was on your mind, those that would end up perishing without the sacrifice you offered. Help us let these words and these verses speak to our heart and that we would learn to die to the flesh and say yes to God. Lord, help us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.